Good evening and welcome along to tonight's episode of The Score. I am Mark Gallagher and I'll be with you from now right through until 8 o'clock to review and preview all the latest stories in the world of sport here in the Northwest. Coming up on the show this evening, we'll be hearing from Donegal driver Kyle McBride, who clinched the Junior British Rally Championship and Stellantis Cup in Wales at the weekend. We'll look ahead to the upcoming Lifford Oaks race at Lifford Greyhound Stadium with Spencer Saberton. That's the biggest race at the venue in 16 years, which takes place on Saturday. And in our local soccer segment, we'll be speaking to Lifford Celtic manager Lee White. But firstly, with Shamrock Rovers being crowned SSE Air Trusty League Premier Division champions last night, the main interest now comes at the foot of the table as we head into the final round of League of Ireland fixture for 2025. Rovers clinched the title with a 1-0 win over relegation threatened Galway United yesterday, and the newly crowned champions will look to do the double on Sunday week in the FAI Cup final against Cork City at the Aviva Stadium. Galway, meanwhile, are in a scrap to maintain their Premier Division status along with Sligo Rovers and Waterford, who are all tied on 38 points each with one game to play. Galway and Waterford clash on Saturday as Sligo Rovers have to go to new champions Shamrock Rovers in their bid to avoid the relegation playoff spot. Derry City will look to secure second position in the league on Saturday as they take on already relegated Cork City. So, to talk all things League of Ireland, I'm now joined by former Finn Harps player Joe Boyle. Good evening, Joe.
Good evening. How are you, man?
Good, very good. We'll start with the new league champions, Shamrock Rovers. They finally got the job done last night against Galway. They didn't have to make hard work of it, though. Eventually, I don't think there can be any disagreements that the best team all season have now been crowned champions, Joe.
Yeah, look at it. And I think just watching the match last night and seeing Dylan Watt's free kick, you know, I think it was a free kick worthy of one in any league. And throughout the season, they've had their challenges. You know, it's been a difficult season for Shamrock Rovers. To think that they've lost seven matches, you know, it's not normally what we associate with them. But, you know, they have come through in their consistency over the whole season, up until maybe the last three or four games where they, you know, they lost three in a row, where you're thinking, oh my God, is this going to go down to the same scenario as we had last season with Shelburne winning on the last game of the season? But they got the job done last night, and you know, I think it was a really fitting night for them to win it in Tala with a quality of a free kick like that.
Yeah, and they have their obviously have an FAI Cup final against Cork City on Sunday week. Do you have Shamrock Rovers down to do the double?
You would have to, you know, when you look at the league table where, you know, they've won 19 matches and Cork City have only won four. And but the other side of it is, you know, we were very, very disappointed when we seen Harps going out to Cork in the Cup, you know, 3-0 in Balbuffet. But, you know, fair dues to Cork, they went on then and they beat St. Pat's in Turner's Cross, and which was probably their best performance of the season. And, you know, I wouldn't count Cork out. They've got people who can step up on the big day. You know, you've got the likes of Shawnee Maguire who can bang in the goals there. And, you know, Evan McLaughlin has been brilliant. We've seen him firsthand in Balbuffet, how good he was. So you would have to say Shamrock Rovers are red hot favourites. But at the end of the day, Cork City do have an association with the FAI Cup, and, you know, it could be their season.
And just when you were talking there, it reminded me that last season, it's a bit of a similar position. You had Derry City against Drogheda. People fancied Derry, and then on Cup final day, anything can happen. So you never rule Cork out of that final.
No, and you know, Cork will bring a big travelling support. You know, they can be quite raucous and hostile when they want to be. And I do look forward to the FAI Cup final every year. And, you know, it has over the last couple of years thrown up some really, really great Sunday afternoon entertainment. And you know, hopefully this Sunday or Sunday week, it'll be the exact same for Shamrock Rovers and Cork.
From a Derry City point of view, remarkably, if they beat Cork City on Saturday, they could potentially finish within 3 points of the champions. I heard Tiernan Lynch say last week that he had some regrets when he looks at the league table. When the dust settles, is it a good season for Derry, do you think?
It's a good season, because when you look at it, you know, you look at their first four games at the start of the season, they lost away to Shelburne on that first night of the season, and then they went on then to lose to Waterford and St. Pat's then in the next two games after beating Bowes in the second game. So, you know, when a team loses three of their first four games, it makes it really, really difficult. But they have bounced back. They have had some really, really good performances and some really, really good results as well throughout the season. But again, I think that start of the season there where they lost, was it five, six matches in the first 10 or 12 matches, that puts you on the back foot. I know Shamrock Rovers were also on the back foot, but that's something that they're going to have to make sure that they don't get caught with at the start of the season. But for me, just looking at Derry as well, like they've lost six matches away from home and they lost three at home. You know, that's an awful lot of points for a team who's going to be looking to challenge for the league. To have nine losses throughout the season, it's very, very difficult to win any league title like that.
In relation to the relegation battle, Cork City are gone, but it's all kind of come down to the final round of games on Saturday. Galway United are away to Waterford, a massive game, and then Sligo Rovers have the small task of going to the new league champions in Shamrock Rovers. I suppose you never know what kind of an outfit Shamrock Rovers will have, but it could hardly be set up any better heading into the final day.
Oh, it's going to be nail-biting when you look at for John Caulfield. He was hoping he might have got something out of the game in Tallaght last night, but he didn't get anything and it goes right down to the wire. They're all sitting on goal difference. Cork sitting on minus seven, Sligo on minus 13 and Waterford. So if you're John Rosslea's there, you don't have any control over what happens in that match. John Caulfield has control because if he can get the same result or get a draw or beat Waterford, then he's home and hosed. But for John Rosslea, it's a very, very difficult one for him there. If it's a draw on Waterford and he gets beat, then he's in that playoff. And that's going to be a very, very interesting Saturday night for everybody watching that bottom part of the league.
Can you call it? Who do you think will end up in that relegation playoff, Joe?
Oh, from a Harps point of view, I hope it's Waterford because our association with Galway, with Ollie Horgan and everything they've been through this season, and for the North West, I think the league definitely needs Sligo in the league. And I don't want to put an extra journey on Kevin and the boys for next season, but it's a trip to Waterford I'd prefer to have than to be going to Sligo or Galway. So look, I think I'll let my heart rule my head and I'll go for Waterford to be in that playoff. But when you look at the playoff then on the other side where you've got Bray and
Treaty.
Limerick or Treaty in the other side, I would still fancy that Waterford may have too much for them. But again, in a one-off match, and if you come through that playoff, whether you're Bray or Treaty, and you come through, you've got that winning feeling. What mindset will Waterford be going into that league playoff if it's them or Sligo or Galway if they come with a negative result now at the weekend? So it's a difficult one, but you would have to think, and maybe I'm going back to just how Hearts played against Cork in the cup match. There is a gap between the Premier Division and the First Division, so you would always have to think that the Premier Division should have the advantage. But if you come through the playoffs and it's been a tough couple of weeks for Bray and Treaty coming through the league and then through the playoffs, they are battle hardened. They've found a way to win four matches and they're going into one-off match then, and it will be in the balance, but you would always have to think that the Premier Division team would have the greatest chance of coming through the playoffs.
Yeah, and we don't know who's going to be in that. Well, we know Treaty are playing Bray in the First Division playoff. Treaty knocked Cove out on Tuesday. I was really surprised by that result. I know Kevin McHugh a couple of weeks ago, he said he thought Cove were actually the best team in the league, even though Dundalk won it. Were you surprised that Treaty got the better of Cove in that First Division playoff?
Yeah, it was, because I really did fancy. I actually, at one stage, with a couple of weeks to go, thought there was a huge chance that Cove might actually catch Dundalk, and one or two results to go their way that could have happened. And I really, really am shocked to see Treaty in the playoff finals, because when they played in Balbuffet, and I know they had a really bad week there where they got battered, it was a 6 or 7 nil, and then they came to Balbuffet and Harps got the better of them as well. And I really did think that they would have had no chance in the playoffs, but great credit to them, and they're in the playoff final against Bray. And I would have also fancied UCD. I thought UCD might have had enough for Bray. Both of them have been played in the recent weeks in Balbuffet, and I would have fancied maybe that William O'Connor and UCD might have got to the playoff finals. I wasn't sure UCD had enough to get through the whole playoff system, but look, we're left with Bray and Treaty, and they deserve great credit to get there. And it just shows that when you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. And it's a bit like the FAI Cup final. It's down to cup football and knockout football now, and if Bray gets through, then they're in with a shout. If Treaty gets through, they're in with a shout to play either Waterford, Sligo or Galway. So there's a lot of excitement still left in the season.
That's it. It'll be really interesting to see how that all plays out in the next week or two. Just a word on Finn Harps, Joe, 8th place finish, but from chatting to a few people within the club recently, I think the general consensus is that there was progress made this year and that things are going in the right direction, even if the league table doesn't really reflect that. Do you go along with those views?
Yeah, look at it. When I go back to the cup results, you know, a great result against UCD where they beat UCD 3-0 and then they beat Bray 3-1, and you know, they were on a really good run of form at that stage. But the Cork results really did dent their confidence. You know, I think it was that opening couple of minutes where Cork got away from them and they never really recovered. And to think after the cup match that they didn't win a match after that, and I think that's where Kevin and everybody would be so disappointed. You know, they were knocking on the door of a playoff place at that stage, but just that cup match seemed to have dented their confidence. But when you look around the squad, there's lots of positive things, and you know, to think that Finn Harps will have three players now going to the under 17 World Cup in a couple of weeks, you know, that's a huge achievement for the boys to be heading out, for Gavin and for Josh and for Corey to be heading out with Colin O'Brien to the under 17s, that they'll have three World Cup matches to look at, and they start next week on Wednesday the 5th. So you know, over that week or 10 days that they'll be there, hopefully they'll get a result against either Panama, Paraguay or Uzbekistan to get through and get through to the next stage and into the knockout stages. But you know, all in all, it has been a challenging season. You know, Kevin came in, missed pre-season where he wasn't the manager in charge, got the lads rallied and got them going again. And you know, there was a lot of hope there with a couple of games to go, and it was just disappointing that they missed out in the last couple of weeks. But yeah, I think justifiably it has been a good season. We'd have liked it to have been better. We'd love to have got through to those playoff positions. But I think now it's time for Kevin and his management just to sit down, have a look at where they're going, look at all of those quality young players that are there and some of the local lads, and maybe bring in one or two players as well. You would imagine that there will be a few of the bigger clubs circling around a couple of Harps players who have done really well this season. And, you know, some of them, they depend on their contract situations. But I think Kevin will have learned a lot from this season, and, you know, he'll get them well organised and get them prepared for the start of next season. And, you know, I would envisage that there'll be a bounce next season from the squad, and they'll certainly be in a challenging position to definitely get into the playoffs and move on from that. But again, the first division next year will be challenging. It's going to depend on who does come down, who's going to be there. And, you know, for me, it's going to be a difficult season because these journeys to Munster every other week is quite difficult. You know, when you've got to go to Kerry, you've got to go to Wexford, you could be going to Waterford, going to Limerick, going to Cove, going to Cork. You know, it's very, very difficult. And when you look at Harps' season, you know, they've only won three times on the road. You can understand that. So that's why Finn Park has really got to become a fortress and make sure that you're winning more matches at home than you've ever won before, because, you know, those journeys to Munster every other week is going to be really, really difficult for Harps next season. But, you know, I think the experience of this season, and when you look at the squad as well, there's a lot of those young players like Gavin McAteer, you know, Josh Cullen, you know, they've got 30 matches under their belt, 35 matches under their belt by the start of next season. When you look at Adam McDade coming in, you know, Dara Coyle played the last day. Daniel Cunningham's been in and around the squad. And again, when you look at Corey in goals, you know, he came in during the season. And again, Cooney's moved on to Burnley. So there's lots of really good, promising young players there, and they just need that experience and that support from a couple of the elder statesmen like Conor Tourish and Barry McNamee. And, you know, I do think Harps will be a lot stronger next season.
Joe Boyle, thanks very much for joining us here on the Score programme tonight, and we'll be talking to you again soon, I'm sure, okay?
Thanks, Mark. Good day.
Former Finn Harps player Joe Boyle looking ahead to the final weekend of league action on the domestic scene. Now let's move on to our local soccer section of this week's programme, and we're going to shine the light on Lifford Celtic. Lifford Celtic is one of the most famous soccer clubs in Donegal, and over the years the East Donegal club has enjoyed its fair share of success. In recent times though, it has struggled a bit, and this season the senior adult team are playing in the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2 of the Donegal Junior League. Nevertheless, these are exciting times for the club, which will be moving away from its Green Bay home to new facilities at Lifford Common, which are being redeveloped as part of a major multi-million euro project being overseen by Donegal County Council, which will see a new enterprise park, housing and recreational facilities. With a strong underage structure and a new management team in place this season, hopes are high that better times lie ahead. Well, Chris Ashmore has been speaking with Lifford Celtic manager Lee White.
Well, Lee, delighted that you can join us on the programme as we talk about Lifford Celtic. And it's been a tricky enough couple of years for the club this season. You're in the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2. You've made a bright start to the season, and essentially it's a very youthful team.
It would be, Chris. Very young in places now. Obviously, we have a bit of experience mixed in along with too, but very young, like even our captain there would be, Daniel Lindsay would be 25. He's about a long time, but still very young. Mm. You know, and we'd have about three or four that age group, and then a couple over that age group, and we have a good few younger. It's good. It's a nice blend.
Now, I was looking at, I read that five players who've made their senior debut this season, three of them actually scored on their debut, so that's encouraging.
It is. I talk about grabbing a bit of scruff of an egg, and that's what they don't now. They're promising, a couple of very promising young players there now, and we just hope we can hold on to them for a bit, so we might make a strides up the table, or maybe sometime shortly jump a division or something, you know, with them, because they're very good lads and hard trainers, and they're just a breath of fresh air they have around. You know, we have boys that's been there for a long time, and they're seeing this youth coming through, and it's just a great buzz about, you know.
So yourself and Daniel McNulty essentially are the main men on the sideline. Both of you have seen these young players sort of coming through at underage level, and that's part of the reason why you are the management team.
Yeah, I was involved in the under-16s team now, and there was an under-18 team there, Lifford 2, and we kind of would go down and watch the local football as much as we could, and of course been involved with the 16s, I could see potential in that group. Very good, and they worked hard, so I said to myself, this could be a wee opportunity to maybe start building something, you know. And Daniel works away now, but he's back at the weekend, but he's also playing as well. Daniel be a senior player, but still well able to play, so myself and Connell and Ashley are on the sidelines now, so that's good.
You're a club with a proud tradition. You've played at a high level in the past. You've enjoyed some memorable successes. You've had FAI Junior Cup runs. Shay Given, of course, played with you. Now, your ground down at the Green Beret, just beside the river there, this is going to be your last season there.
Yeah, we're supposed to be pulling out of the Green Beret in June. Well, hopefully we might get to July. You know, the Green Beret yourself, it's not a bad place to be in the summer months, but when it comes to the winter months, it's a bit challenging, all right. A lot of good memories there too, but it's like everything else, it has to move on.
Mm-hmm. So there's this Riverine project that's taking place. It's a cross-border venture. It's going to really be a huge lift to Lifford and Strabane, developing both sides of the river. And you are going to be moving in to a brand new pitch, not too far away. It's part of an overall development. The council's strongly involved in it. That's going to open up a big tract of land. So it could be the start of a whole new era.
Yeah, so we're hoping. It's very central day to town, you know. Not that you'll be walking down a dark road at night, they go to training. It's kind of very central. It's fairly impressive now. I've seen it from a close eye myself, and it looks very good so far, and the grass is sown out now. So hopefully in the near future we'll be kicking ball around there.
So tell us about the season so far. You've played four games, 1-2, drawn one, and last weekend your first defeat, that was at home to Dromahill. But it's been a reasonably good start to the season.
Yeah, well, I suppose there's a wee bit of a blend of everything there. They tasted a draw, and we also tasted defeat. It wasn't nice, but it was nice to see the reaction from them, see how they felt. And although it wasn't the end of the world, they were fairly disappointed. And it just made us knuckle down a wee bit harder in the training field. Just
what are the ambitions for this season? Do you think you can challenge to get promoted?
Division 2 is kind of tricky enough. Division this year, we hadn't got planned. We thought about it, but as things kicked on and people started to buy into it, we kind of thought to ourselves, you know, might be something, but it's going to take a bit of work. You know, obviously, between injuries and stuff like that and trying to develop youth, it's not going to be very straightforward. But we're kind of hoping when it comes near the end of the season, it will be somewhere up around it now. That's the plan. We might need to ask a wee bit more out of the group, to dig a wee bit deeper, but hopefully they can, and hopefully be in around the promotion or spots near the end of the season, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting looking at the teams in Division 2, and it just goes to show how the sort of there's cycles that things come around and teams have good periods and bad periods, because when you look at the likes of the teams in it, Dromahill, Drumkeen United, Curragh Athletic, Dunkineely, those clubs, they've all played at a much higher level. They've all won trophies in the past. Some of them have played Ulster Senior League. So here you are in Division 2. There might be clubs who may be not enjoying the best of times, but again, they have proud traditions. And like yourself, no doubt will be hoping for better times ahead.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, actually, I was playing with Lifford in Ulster Senior League myself against Dromahill at one time. Now, where the two of us are in Division 2 battling it out. Very strong side, Dromahill. But you say, like Drumkeen there, they would have a lot of pride. Good club as well. Brilliant facilities. And the Cora, the same. Dunkineely, they would have been the kingpins. As I was starting in the Donegal League years ago, they would have had, I think they might have won 3 back-to-back. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of teams with a lot of silverware in the cabinets and Division 2, like. And I suppose everybody has their own ambitions to try and get back to that point. But it takes a lot of work. And hopefully the likes of the new ground might help.
And no shortage of local derbies. It's almost like there's a Finn Valley mini league within Division 2, because you've the likes of Raphoe and Deal, who of course are nearby. You've mentioned there Drumkeen as well, and Curragh just up the road. So those games will have added interest.
It's great to just jump in the car and 20 minutes and you're in there again. The Lifford and Deal derbies just got a wee bit closer, but the pitch is a wee bit closer to Balmsgate at there now at the minute. So, yeah, it's good, and it's, you kind of know players, and everybody kind of, it's a nice wee circle of chat. All these local teams been about. But it's fairly competitive now, so.
And tell us, what's the training? How many days a week are you out?
We were late on the scene of getting the management team gathered up now, but we're fairly going. We're probably mid-30s, 35 sessions done now, and like we trained last night. It was fairly wet last night now, but we got a good session done. We had 18 training, so training's going well now, in fairness.
And this weekend, a home fixture against White Strand United. Do you know much about them? They've made a good start. 3 wins out of 3.
Yeah, they're fairly strong. All right, we would have come up against them in the past. They're always very difficult to beat. Definitely down there anyway, and I'm sure it'll be the same in the Green Bray. We'll probably have to get the pitchforks out again, looking at the weather right enough. But no, they're kind of up around the top part of the league is the last couple of years, so I'm sure 3 from 3, I'm sure they'll be looking at that, and they'll be all buying on it and training hard and looking forward to the game of Sunday the same as us too. But we're just looking to get a good bounce back. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for a reaction from the squad after the defeat to Dromahill.
And finally, Lee, just apart from the men's senior team, there are of course other teams within the club and good support at underage level. The local community and sponsors, people still very much getting behind the club.
Yeah, they are, surely. And we'll probably have to lean them a wee bit more too as we're going up to this new field. There's a lot of people doing a lot of work at the underage level. You can never have too team and Evan. It's just great, many hands make light work and stuff. Definitely, even to get the lights upgraded and training field there. I know we're pulling out of the grounds soon, but like the local businesses just are so helpful and it's great. We're lucky to be in a kind of town that's kind of big and it has plenty of businesses about, and they're helping out as best as they can, and we're just delighted.
So in conclusion, it might be a slow and gradual process, but the future is certainly very bright for Lifford Celtic.
Yeah, hopefully it is. Well, that's probably, you have to kind of, like, my kids are kind of grown up a wee bit now, you know, I have a wee bit of more time on my hands, so I'm kind of thinking about maybe it'd be nice to stay in the job for a couple of years just to give the club a wee bit of stability. Because the chopping and change of manager year to year kind of setbacks and stuff like that. So hopefully they keep this wee management team in place for a couple of years so we can work with these young fellas and make it better and stronger. So that's the plan, anyway. We just hope it all goes well.
That is our own Chris Ashmore in conversation with Lee White, the manager of Lifford Celtic. And as Chris and Lee said, Lifford play White Strand on Sunday in the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2. In other games, Drumkeen United play Cranford, Dromahol take on Raphoe Town, and Dunkaneely Celtic host Dunfanaghy Youths. In the Premier Division on Sunday, Bonagie United, who are currently the only unbeaten team in the league and sit top, they go to Kilmacrenan and Celtic. Champions Letterkenny Rovers welcome KG Rovers to Lakeview. Glenny United take on Fannett United, and St Catharines are at home to Kildrum Tigers. In the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1, it's first v second as top of the table Capri Rovers are away to Castlefin Celtic. Balbuffet United play Convoy Arsenal. Gidor United welcome Swilly Rovers. Milford United host Gidor Celtic, and Kerry Keel make the short trip to the Flagpole Field to face neighbours Rathmullen Celtic. There's also a full round of games in the three Saturday divisions, with the action getting underway tonight in the Glencar in Saturday Division 1. Glencar Celtic face Letterkenny Rovers. While in the Old Orchard Saturday Division 2, Bonagie United face Fintown Harps, and Fannett United play Gidor Celtic. In a show on this weekend, Cockhill Celtic will look to maintain their 100% start to the league season as they go to Kildaff. Champions Buncrana Hearts are at home to Clonmany Shamrocks. QPS go to Cairn, and Elise Celtic are at home to Aileach. The two North West teams are in action in the Irish League Championship on Saturday. Institute are at home to Armagh City, while Limavady go to Warren Point. Well, it's time for a quick break here on The Score. When we come back, we'll be turning the focus to rallying and speaking with newly crowned Junior British Rally Champion, Kyle McBride. You're very welcome back to The Score. Now, it is time to talk rallying. After an enthralling 8-round season on some of the best tar and gravel stages across Ireland and the UK, Donegal's Kyle McBride and co-driver Darren Mullen were crowned Junior British Rally Champions at the Cambrian Rally in Wales at the weekend. The duo also came out on top in the 2025 Stellantis Cup after a winner-takes-all final showdown with Donegal's Joe Kelly, who had Killian McCardle on the notes. McBride and co-driver Mullen had a one-point advantage heading into the North Wales finale, but with Kelly and McCardle the outfit to beat, it proved to be a grandstand finish between the two Peugeot 208 rally crews. And I'm happy to say joining me on the show tonight is the man who came out on top, Kyle McBride. Thanks for popping on to speak to us, Kyle.
Cheers, Mark. Thank you very much. Great to be here, and it's good to be here. Yeah, look, very good weekend, and great year to be fair. But just delighted to get the both championships. It was down to the wire, to be fair, on the last event for the Stellantis Cup. But thankfully, we kept our heads down and knuckled down, and we got the one in the end. So yeah, it made it all worthwhile.
That's it. You came out on top after a very entertaining season's rally. And have your achievements and what you've achieved sunk in yet?
Yeah, I suppose they're starting to sink in a small bit, to be fair. Like, you know, it's in the moment sometimes when you've so much going on in your head, like it's hard to believe. But yeah, look, it's unbelievable. I've looked up to many of the people that's won the likes of the Junior British Rally Championship, and always loved or thought about doing, like would love to, dreamed of doing it, and to be given the opportunity to be able to do it and compete in it is mind-blowing, never mind getting the opportunity to try and push for the win. And thankfully we're given the opportunity by numerous amount of people and sponsors in the Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy, and Yeah, my family, my father, and yeah, it's a huge, huge team effort to get me there. But yeah, we've been doing it this past few seasons, so it's just it was a long time coming, but just absolutely delighted to get it over the line. And yeah, just really thankful to all the people who's helped me along the way.
And you touched on it at all, kind of came down to the Cambrian Rally in Wales at the weekend there. How are you feeling heading into that rally compared to the others this season? Was there a few extra nerves or jitters heading over?
Yeah, look, we do a lot of work with the Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy and on preparing ourselves for the event. And look, we didn't we it was another event, another rally, and we didn't think too much about the championship. We just had to prepare the way we usually prepare and do nothing crazy differently, because I think if you start doing stuff crazy, a lot of different stuff, trying to maybe over prepare, it'll end up not being the same. So yeah, look, we with the preparation we put in on previous events, it got us to this moment. So, of course you're going to get a small bit of nerves and a small bit of, just wondering. But like, look, we thankfully we prepared really well and it worked out really good. And yeah, it was tricky because we had two championships to fight for, and for the junior BRC, all we had to do was literally finish. Then for the Stellantis, we had to win on the day to win that. So look, it's very tricky because you could lose all very handy if you had if the car broke down or something happened, or if you got if something happened, like, so look, just we just gauged it in the morning to see where we're at, and then we went for it then, and it worked,
And just the Stellantis Cup in particular, it was a kind of winner takes all battle against fellow Donegal driver Joe Kelly and his co-pilot Killian McArdle. It must have been special to be battling out with Joe and Killian.
Definitely. So it's been a seesaw battle all year, and look, fair play to the two lads. They've been going hard all year, and yeah, look, we it was winner takes all for the Stellantis. When we went out in the morning, we were just probably a little bit too cautious, but that was our strategy and that was our plan, just to see where we're at. And when we came back into service, we were 7.1 seconds behind, and yeah, we decided to empty the car. We had a lot of spare tools and parts in the car, and look, we decided to take those out and give ourselves the best opportunities possible. So yeah, once we got those out and we got the weight out, we just says, look, let's go for it. Let's we rallied all year to get into that moment, and I wasn't for letting it slip on the last rally. So I was determined to get it. But it's such a tricky sport. Anything can happen, and it's just great to finish on the right side of it. But yeah, it's been great battling with the two lads all year, and yeah, it's luck of the draw who wins on the day with the two of us there, like. So it just played in my favor at the Cambrian. So yeah, really delighted.
You've been around a good few years, even though you're still young. And I suppose that experience you've gained from driving on the Welsh roads over the past few years, doing different rallies, no doubt helped you execute the plan on Saturday.
Definitely so. Unbelievable. Unbelievable experience from previous years. We did that rally last year, and the conditions actually weren't as tricky as they were this year. The conditions was completely very, very tricky, really wet, really windy, and really muddy. Usual like Wales Rally GB conditions, and last year when we did it was reasonably dry. But yeah, having the knowledge from previous years from other events, it's really, really helped to it's really helpful in your back pocket, just to have and think back on previous moments and previous years on how suppose how you would strategize to start the stage or attack the stage, or maybe go a small bit slower at a certain stage, and look, it really does help. So yeah, it's good to have that, to be fair.
And a word on your co-pilot, Darragh Mullen, a huge help to have a man like that in the notes, I'm sure.
Aye, 100%. Only for Dara there. Even not only at the Cambrian Rally all year, all this past two seasons, Dara has been on with me, and he's been great. He's been keeping me on the straight and narrow, and yeah, fair play to him. He's puts in a lot of effort, a lot of work, and look, you need to have a good man on your side, because it's a two man effort, and look, at the end of the day, I'm just driving the car. Like, if I hadn't him calling the notes, I'd be nowhere. So, you know, you need, everybody has to play their part, and even the mechanics, and thanks to all the lads in service, BDM Motorsport, Dad, and the whole mechanics to keeping the car running, you know, all year there. And it's we're under pressure a few times throughout the year there with small mistakes and stuff going wrong, but thankfully we've got to every rally that we intended to do, and we got always pushed for the result we needed to push for, and yes, left us in a position at the end of the year to fight for the championship. So yeah, it's tricky when it all comes down to the last event. I suppose it's not really ideal, you know, you do a full year rallying to come down to the last event, but at the end of the day there's only going to be one winner, and look, it can go anyway, you know, and I'm just delighted it went our way. And yeah, just can't thank likes of Dara and all the team and all the lads behind me, you know, for their help all year.
Yeah, and you, as you said, you're the man behind the wheel. But as for that Peugeot 208 Rally 4, safe to say you're getting on well with it. But there's a huge team effort that it takes. Tell us a wee bit more about the team behind the car and what it takes to get it on the road.
Yeah, it takes a lot to get the wheels turning before it would even leave the house. But yeah, it's a really good car. Huge thanks to Racing Rally as well for their support. Yeah, look, it's a huge team effort, huge family effort. My whole family puts in a massive effort, and Dara and BDM Motorsport, the Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy that I'm in this past few seasons. And yeah, they've been instrumental to my programs. And yeah, look, I have a lot of sponsors on the car. A lot of sponsors on the car, a lot of sponsors not on the car. And I'd like to thank all those people that's on the car and not on the car. They know who they are. So huge shout out to all those people. They're the people that makes it possible, you know, like, it's just what they're rallying at the minute to get to keep improving and keep getting to a higher level. It just gets really, really expensive. So yeah, it's an honor and it's a pleasure to be able to drive one of those cars at the level that I'm at. But we want to keep on pushing for more and keep improving. So yeah, huge thanks to everybody who makes it possible.
So as the dust settles, apart from the weekend, obviously, what were some of the standout moments from the year's rally? And there must have been a few, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's a few, I suppose. We won our own rally, or our home rally, Donegal, was quite cool. Yeah, getting to do a lot of big rallies, like Rally of the Lakes and West Cork, obviously Donegal, Rally Cardigan. Rally Cardigan was another standout moment. It was a tussle all weekend with me and Joe as well, and that went down to the last stage. And yeah, that was a really standout moment. And then we had another standout moment, which we had to do in the workshop there. We had to rebuild the car. We did it in 3 days, so we did a full rebuild under 3 days with the team. So it was to make it to another event. And huge thanks to all lads. It was a few late nights, but yeah, that was quite a challenge. But yeah, we did a full rebuild within 3 days, which is quite cool, I thought. So yeah, that was good. And yeah, there's been many of the standout moments, but look, it's when you think back throughout the year, you can find more. So you can, so yeah, it's been a great year, and I'm just delighted to get to the end of it, you know. And what we set out to do at the start of the year, we have achieved those things, and I think that's kind of the most important part. And we've improved as well throughout the year. So yeah, you just have to keep on improving. And yeah, it's a tricky game, but I love it, you know.
A tricky game, to say the least. Yeah, you had an unreal 2025. Things aren't going to slow down in 2026. You'll be gearing up to compete in a good few of the Junior European Rally Championship rounds next year. Is that right?
Yeah, so with the prize that we've won with the Stellantis, it is it avails of free tyres and free entries for the Junior European Rally Championship. So and then the prize for the Junior BRC is free entries for the 2026 Junior BRC. So look, we have nothing set in stone in the minute. Ideally, we're going to obviously push to go to Europe. Yeah, that's the main priority is trying to get to Europe to go to the next level. But look, we have to see what we can do and what budget we can get, and speak to all our sponsors, the team, see what we think's the next appropriate step to take. And yeah, well, look, we don't want to waste a year doing something that we shouldn't be doing. So yeah, we just have to sit down, go through everything in detail, and see what we can do and what we can't do and what's possible. And yeah, look, we have another important thing now that we turn our focus to. We've got the Ballycommon Award interview coming up shortly at the end of the month there. So we were nominated there. We're the first nomination there this year for the Ballycommon Award. So yeah, our focus turns to that right now. And yeah, let's see what we can do in that.
Yeah, best of luck with that Billy Coleman Award, and whatever you get up to in 2026, we look forward to following along here in Highland. Ken McBride, winner of the 2025 Junior British Rally Championship and the Stellantis Cup. Thanks very much for joining us on The Score this evening.
Cheers, thank you.
That is the voice of the new Junior British Rally Champion and Stellantis Cup winner, Kyle McBride. Brilliant achievement for the young Donegal driver, and plenty more to come in 2026, no doubt. Well, from one form of racing to another, a bumper crowd is expected at Lifford Greyhound Stadium this Saturday for the biggest race of the year. In fact, the Boyle Sports Lifford Oaks will be the biggest race at the venue since 2009, and with €10,000 for the winning owner, it has attracted big interest from around the country. Spencer Saberton, the racing manager at Lifford Stadium, previously worked in the sport in the UK, and he has been hugely encouraged by the response to the staging of this competition once again. Chris Ashmore has been speaking with Spencer about the big race and also two other finals that are on Saturday's 11 race card.
Well, I'm joined on the line by Spencer Saberton, who is the racing manager at Lifford Greyhound Stadium. A great night's racing in prospect this Saturday evening, the highlight of which the Boyle Sports Lifford Oaks. And I suppose, first of all, just to put it in context, this competition last run, I think, back in, was it 2009? So this is a really big night.
Yeah, I think last time it was run was 2009. There's been a lot happen in between without anything actually happening with regards to track being closed, etc. Getting it reopened was a difficult process, but yeah, getting the Oaks back was massive, and massive thank you to Boyle Sports for supporting us and leading the way in ground races in Ireland in general, really.
So a couple of weeks ago, there were the first round heats, big interest in that, the semi-finals last week, and it's certainly caught the imagination, not just of the local Greyhound following, but further afield, and it's swelled attendances.
Yeah, crowds have boomed the last couple. Really, the last, say, 6-7 weeks, there's been a buzz about the place again, and it's been a good place to be and good atmosphere. But the last 2-3 weeks, it's just been massive. I've got a phone call Monday, a man from Kerry. He was trying to find how easy the track was to find and stuff like that. He's travelling 6.5, 7 hours, whatever it is, just to come up here and watch the Oaks final. So that's the sort of interest we've got coming. He's not got a dog run or anything. He's just coming up for the night to see the best bitches in the country run against each other, really.
So six runners in the final, and last weekend the semi-finals, Westway Rossa winning the second of the semi-finals. I think it was 28:54 the time over the 5.25 yard distance. That was a particularly good run. Dale Road Maya winning the other heat. But this is six quality runners, and no doubt there'll be big interest. Any signs who is emerging as the favourite?
I think I saw an interview earlier with JK and Boyle Sports and Magical Mag's favourite, probably rightly so, on her previous form with Irish Derby finalists, etc., etc. I think all she's missing is a bitches title, really, and she's favourite for that here. But, I mean, she absolutely flew to the third bend last week and unfortunately had Westway Rosser in behind, who, when she trialled here 3 weeks back, I think it was, I said, everyone I spoke to said she is tailor-made for Lifford. Now, she probably does lack a yard of early, but if she gets a toe, she could mow anything down in the country, I'd say, especially up the Lifford Hill twice.
Yeah.
So, and I'd say it'll be tough.
She's owned by Patrick Guilfoyle, owned and trained, one of the top trainers in the country. And when we look at the names of the people who are coming up for this big race, great to see the big names in Irish Greyhound racing coming to the Northwest.
Yeah, I mean, when I was doing the draw, everyone that watched the live draw before, just a touch before that, they were saying how overwhelmed and red in the face and sweat. I was pretty overwhelmed with the entries, to be honest. I mean, anybody that knows the geography of Ireland knows that in terms of greyhounds, we are worlds apart from anywhere, really. We're 2.5 hours to the next GRI track, I'd say. And to get the calibre of dog we're getting up here the last 2-3 weeks is just phenomenal, really. Mm. I mean, I was getting stressed. Colin McGee, general manager, I was stressing at him. Things are being slow, but obviously when it's corporate and stuff, things take time. But I set the stall out early and I phoned as many people as I could think of. I phoned them all up and asked for entries, and I was just expecting thanks, but no thanks. You know how far away you are from us, but to get the entries we got and the people doing the miles, fair play to them, fair play to the ground community in Ireland for supporting Lifford.
Absolutely, and €10,000 for the winning owner at the end of it. And of course, part of the appeal, the fact that Lifford is regarded throughout the country and beyond as being a fine track, and in terms of facilities and the track itself, it's right up there.
Yeah, look, I think it's fair to say I've got the pleasure of having the best track staff in the country. When I was travelling backwards and forwards before I actually took the job here, I was just expecting, you know, sort of like a dingy shack sort of thing with, you know, a standard 480, 525 yard surface. But we turned into the track and all I said was, wow. I've always said it's a sleeping giant, and I think it's fair to say that the sleeping giant is starting to awaken and people are starting to take notice everywhere how good the facility is, the viewing, the stand. I mean, the stand is second to none. It'd be fair to say that until Shelburne had their recent redevelopment, that Lifford was probably the best main stand in the country. So, yeah, that's sort of the facility we have here. We're blessed to have it and blessed to have the staff we have around us. So.
Now, the racing on Saturday, there are also a number of other finals to look forward to as well.
Yeah, I mean, the one I'm looking forward to the most, to be honest, is, aside from the Oaks, would be the Ngogre 5A6-525 final. I mean, I know it would be the lowest grade we have on the card on paper, but what we have is a puppy in four that runs a bend quicker than she runs a straight. The way she ran last week was unbelievable. We've got Tumble Bumble, who, it'd be fair to say, definitely the fastest dog in the race, is doing A1 runs, but might lack the yard to the corner. So it's going to be a frame up. The draw's worked out well for, I don't think anyone would be hard done by the draw, so there's no excuse for any of the dogs here. But I'm really looking forward to that one. I'd love seeing pups go forward and be interested to see how Avenue Queen goes.
And as well as that, then there's the Northwest Greyhound Supplies 8384525. Again, lots of local dogs involved in that. What time does racing get underway?
Racing on Saturday will get off at the slightly earlier time of 7:34 due to TV commitments, media rights and stuff like that. So slightly earlier, but by no means will it be any worse. Mm. So.
And a bumper attendance expected?
I'd say we wouldn't be far off sold out already if we're not. And then downstairs I expect to be jammed as well. So there'll be a proper atmosphere under the lights at Lifford.
And if people want to find out more, they can go to the GRI website and Lifford there, and also the Lifford Stadium on Facebook?
That's right, yeah. Lifford Stadium on Facebook, Instagram, X, all the details we found on there.
It is. Chris Ashmore speaking with racing manager Spencer Saberton, looking ahead to that big event at Lifford Greyhound Stadium on Saturday. Now to move on to Gaelic games, there are two big games from a Donegal club point of view this weekend. Both are at 1:30 on Sunday. The footballers of Carndonagh will start their bid for Ulster Junior Glory as they travel to Clonus to take on Monaghan club Emmy Vale. That's in the Ulster Junior Club quarter final. Pádraig Kilfordy will be at St Sheerness Park in Clonus and we'll be going over to Pádraig for live regular updates from the throw-in at 1:30. At the same time in Letterkenny, the hurlers of St Eunan's will play Carrickmore of Tyrone in the Ulster Intermediate Hurling Club Championship quarter-final. And Chris Ashmore will be there for Highland Radio Sunday Sport. The Under-21 Football Championship continues this weekend with games across both Saturday and Sunday. Two Derry clubs are out on Ulster club duty on Saturday at Owen Beg. Firstly, at 4 o'clock, Glenullen face Moneyglass of Antrim in the Ulster Football Intermediate Championship first round. Then at 6, Derry senior champions Newbridge take on Dunloy, also of Antrim, in the first round of the Ulster Senior Club Championship. Finally for tonight in local rugby, there's a big Northwest derby in Ulster Championship 2 on Saturday with Limavady playing host to Letterkenny. We'll be going over to Alex McDonald for updates on that game. Elsewhere in the same division, City of Derry play Monaghan. In Ulster Championship 1, it's Portadown taking on Oma. And in Ulster Championship 3, Strabane will look to continue their flying start when they play Cavan. That is just about it for this episode of The Score. My name is Mark Gallagher, and if you missed any of tonight's show, it will be available to listen back to very shortly over on our website at highlandradio.com. Your next sports update will be with Chris Ashmore, who will be at the sports desk during the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. Have a great evening, and I'll talk to you all again soon.